Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the show. Today's micro show is about sleep. Sleep, I know, that thing. We either love it or hate it. Very few people that I know are sort of like indifferent to sleep. Like, meh, I can take it or leave it. Most people have a pretty strong opinion of sleep. I will confess that as a young person, I thought that sleep, I did not get it. I was like, why do I have to put the brakes on here? Like, what's happening? I feel like this is just time. It's getting in the way of this life thing. And I confess that I sort of ran at that for a long time, way too far into adulthood. And at some point, I figured out, wow, despite thinking that I was a genetic mutant and, you know, and I remember lots of interviews early on in my professional career saying, I don't know, I'm too excitable. I don't sleep a lot. I'm really sort of a 4 or 5 hour a night guy. And I truly did that for way more than a decade, maybe 16, 17 years. And then, of course, it catches up to you. And I have recounted in previous writings, I think in Creative Calling and maybe even in this podcast, that just a moment where this sort of sleep hit me out of the thin air. And I went on vacation and it was after just this heroic stretch of work. And I slept for like 14 hours straight for like 5 days in a row. And I'm like, oh, okay. But regardless how we got here, regardless how I got here, sleep is critical. And I wanted to share in today's episode the progress that I have personally made and what my current sleep status, my skills, the techniques that I'm employing that have radically helped me become a much better sleeper. I'm talking like night and day, double entendre there. I've really become a pretty dang good sleeper. And over the last 10 years, I have been fidgeting, tweaking a lot of different inputs. And I feel like I'm at a pretty good state right now. So I thought I'd make a podcast of it, share this with you. I will start by saying I am not a doctor. Sometimes sleep, whether you're not getting enough or getting too much, was more often the former than the latter. But I will make some recommendations here. I am not a professional in this regard. I am not a doctor. I'm actually going to we'll even talk about some supplements that I'm taking. Know that you should do your own research. This is exactly what I'm doing. Now, I think there's sort of like, I've got a rough list here in front of me of 8 items. You could probably combine them in slightly different ways, but I'm just going to go through them in order. Maybe it's sort of like the arc of sleep. And I'm going to share some things. You can adopt what is interesting or may not work for you. If you want to experiment, I'd love to hear your feedback. I'm going to start at the beginning. When do you go to bed? I used to, as I mentioned, stay up super late, get very few hours of sleep, and do it all over again. I would, because I traveled, 3.1 flights per week for 13 years, which is a lot of plane travel, hundreds of thousands of miles. That used to mean I was always in different time zones, and I really struggled to find a consistent time to go to sleep. But as I am getting wiser and traveling less by design, the pandemic really changed that. But I've continued along that track. I have tried to narrow the window in which I go to sleep each night. I don't always get it. This is not about perfection. It's about having a point of view. And therefore, I try and get to bed within sort of a rough window of 30 minutes each night. And for me, that tends to be between 10:30 and 11. And I'm not prescribing when that should be, but I do know that from my own data, and I've tracked my sleep now for about six years, consistency matters a lot. Simplify your bedtime to a window and try and hit that window. That's step one. For Chase's new prescriptions on how to be a more awesome sleeper, trust me on this one. It's really valuable. The data are clear. Number two, limit late meals and alcohol. No real surprise here. If you have a big steak or you eat dinner too late, you are going to struggle to sleep. One of the reasons that I also be very clear in my early professional career as a photographer, highly, highly social, always out with clients from one photo project, one shoot to the next. like every other week, I was on a different plane with a different client. It made the travel stuff that I talked about earlier and going to bed, that made that difficult. But it was also, I was always up late and I was drinking a lot. In the last 5 to 7 years, I have radically mitigated late meals and alcohol. In fact, if I'm on my, what I consider my program, I try and have 0 to 1 drinks of a type of alcohol that does not spike my glycemic index. And I have measured this. You do not need to. The takeaway for you ought to be, don't have big meals. Try and eat slightly earlier. I mean, I was the guy who went out to dinner at 9 o'clock and people thought I was crazy, especially my friends who had kids. They're like, what are you doing? We're in bed by 9 o'clock. I started, you know, trying to eat in the sixes. And I would only have 0 to 1 drinks of, for me, it was dry red wine or like a tequila or a mezcal. Neither one of those dramatically affected my blood sugar. I've measured and tested. I'm just suggesting the takeaway for you is limit late meals and mitigate or minimize alcohol to improve your sleep. If you can cut alcohol out to a 0 or 2 drinks on Saturday or whatever, and you can move your dining to from 8 p.m. to 6, I 100% guarantee it will positively impact your sleep. Those two things. All right. I'm categorizing that as number 2. Number 1 was simplify bedtime to a narrow window. Number 2, limit late meals and alcohol. Number 3, I have now developed a pre-bed wind down. I wouldn't so much as call it a routine. I just have a pool of options that I choose from. Sometimes if I'm on my game, I do all of these things. Sometimes it's just a combination of a few of them. Here's a couple. Pre-bed wind down. 1, limit screen time. I'll say A instead of 1 because we're on number 3 out of our list of 8 if you lost track. Number 3, pre-bed wind down. A, limit screen time. Just don't have your phone on right up until bedtime. Bad for you. Totally bad for you. And again, the only way you know that it's bad for you is if you've, when you've done it for 6 years straight, if you stop doing it an hour before bed, you will be shocked. A, limit screen time. B, I have advocated for this for a long time. I am a hot and cold person. You know this about me. I always do cold in the morning. And in the evening, I have taken to a hot routine if possible. A hot tub is my sort of, if I'm at home, this is a 7 nights a week and it's not a long time. It's just about 10 minutes. A lot of people take a bath. A hot shower can be really valuable. This is a very important and valuable wind down thing. Not required, but awesome. I'm in the hot tub like 10 minutes, keep my hot tub a little hot. That is a lovely, you know, pre-bed wind down. Not all the time, but imagine if you, you know, twice a week took a hot bath or jumped in a hot tub or a hot shower before you go to bed. It's going to help. Just facts. This is science. C, I like a warm beverage. 2 things in particular have been game changers for me in aiding my sleep. 1 is a tea. It's by a brand called Yogi Tea, and it's called Bedtime. I have prescribed this to my friends who have trouble sleeping, and it seems like there's about 60% of the population for which this tea called Bedtime is like a tranquilizer dart to the neck. It is so, so good, so powerful. You drink this stuff, like, if I do this, if I drink bedtime tea in the hot tub, I am like, just, I can barely get to bed before I am asleep. Now, it won't affect everybody like that. It's a very strong, I have a high correlation to recommending this for a friend and it being successful. Friends, I should say. The second thing in a warm beverage that I like, again, you do not want to be having caffeine. You don't even want to be having decaf because decaf has caffeine in it. Second is apple cider and raw honey. 2 tablespoons apple cider vinegar. 1, I like to say, heaping teaspoon of a raw honey. Balance of hot water into like a mug. And I've talked to my friend Tim Ferriss at length about this. We do not know, or I've talked on previous shows with Tim about this. We don't exactly know the mechanism, but also for about 50% of the population, this is like night time. I will tell you, I am a person who it affects. We do not know the mechanism, but it is very delightful. because it puts me out like a light. I have a great night's sleep. There's all kinds of assumptions, and Matt Walker is a sleep genius, a scientist of sleep. If you are interested in learning more about not just these beverages or just, but sleep in general, Matt is amazing. I'm trying to get him on the show. Be a great guest. Warm beverages for Chase: bedtime tea, apple cider vinegar plus honey, mixed into some hot water. Lights out. Super good. D, under this sort of pre-bed wind down, I do have some supplemental sleep aids. I'm going to list them. I'm going to remind you before I listen that I am not a doctor. These have been prescribed to me by medical professionals. That does not mean they are good for you or the right for you or anything. I am telling you that magnesium glycinate, the brand that I use, is Pure. I take two of these before bed, is one sleep aid. That is a sort of a long-term one that I take every night. Do not, this is not medical advice, but I'm telling you what I take. Another is, was prescribed to me by my naturopath, called Cortisol Manager. Cortisol is that hormone that is a stress hormone that kicks up in the morning when it's time to get up. Mine for a long time was kicking off at 4 a.m. and I would wake up and I would be up. And it was not awesome. Cortisol Manager pushes that cortisol increase later in your calendar, in your sleep schedule. That brand that I take is Integrative Therapeutics Cortisol Manager. I really like the anti-allergen one. There's another one that doesn't have, that has sort of maybe have wheat or something in it. This is a pure one. It's a capsule. That is a sleep aid that I do not take all the time, but I would say quite often, maybe it's like a 30% to 50%. I believe you can take one or two of those pills. But again, this is sleep aid supplements that I take. And then the last one is, I will call it interesting. I won't use the word controversial, but it is melatonin. And I will tell you that I experimented pretty broadly with melatonin over a long period of time. And where I found some interesting results was with liquid melatonin, specifically the Pure brand, P-U-R-E. It's a little liquid, has a dropper. Now I'm going to throw some qualifiers out here, because you may be familiar with Dr. Andrew Huberman. He's got a great podcast, science Stanford guy. He recommends against using melatonin, and this is largely because it is hormonal, and I do not know why, and I don't think he knows why. It's, you know, a lot of hormones like testosterone or whatever are regulated. You have to get it from your doctor, and why something like melatonin is not. He believes, based on podcasts that I've listened to him about, that both the dosage that is on the side of the package and what's actually in it, there's not regulation there, so it can be dramatically sometimes too much and sometimes not enough. And also just there are potentially some downstream negative effects from using that on a regular basis. So here's what I have taken away from Dr. Huberman's research and others, and how I use this, use melatonin, is traveling, jet lag, any of that stuff, or if it's really important that I get to sleep because I've got a super big day the next day, or I had trouble getting to sleep the night before, or I had caffeine too, or something, I will use a dropper, which is, I think, 0.1 mLs. I'm not quite sure. Don't quote me on that. But whatever the recommended the dose is on the side of the liquid melatonin, Pure brand melatonin, and I do that infrequently, but it is extremely effective for me. I'm a little groggy on the wake up, but it is valuable. All right. Again, so let's review quickly the ground that we've covered. Number one was, you know, narrow your bedtime window consistently. Number two was limit late meals and alcohol. Number three is there are some pre-bed wind down things. I gave limiting screen time, a hot shower, a hot tub, a hot bath, warm beverages. I cited bedtime tea, apple cider, honey. You could probably choose any other warm beverage besides coffee. That would be lovely. Sleep aids, magnesium glycinate, cortisol manager, liquid melatonin. I'm not a doctor. See earlier notes. Thing four, do not sleep with your phone. Don't sleep with your phone. Not good for you. probably not good to have that thing right by your head all night, every night. It's buzzing and ringing and dinging. If you can, turn it off into do not disturb. I'm not a person who you have to put this thing in a lock safe on the, you know, in the basement. But I think it's unhealthy to have it right next to your bed such that you're picking it up all the time. Now, for me, it is in the bedroom. I make it just inconvenient enough to reach for it and grab it. And yet if I need it, it's there. The goal is no phone, no phone in the bed, on the bed, part of your bedtime routine or part of your wake up routine. No phone. That's thing four. Thing five, temperature control. Now, I do not know the science, but I do know that generally speaking, people sleep better when they are slightly cooler than their body temperature. There are all sorts of sleep aids. Sleep 8 has some that are basically, you know, the chili. There's a cover that is a mattress cover that is can control the temperature that you experience during the evening. Super valuable for me. Pretty much just in the summer months when it's hot, I sleep with the air conditioning on, which is less joyful than in the off seasons, the shoulder seasons, where I can sleep. We're usually up in the Pacific Northwest here, and I can sleep with the window open at night, and it's cold, it's cool, and it's lovely. The punchline here is the temperature. If you can control that, make it chilly. If I'm in a hotel room, I set it for 66 or 67. Extra covers, bundle up, but that tends to help me sleep much better. Again, there are other products that you could put on your mattress that I also would recommend. That's number five. Number six, these are simple mechanical things like earplugs and eye masks. Shockingly effective. Shockingly. Crazy effective. Those little earbuds that are like, if you're, you know, operating a weed whacker or whatever, you can get them at a hardware store. There are also very fancy ones. I've had some fancy ones. I received some as a gift from some fancy friends, and I've used those. And you know what? Just the ones that are sort of like disposable, and or I wear them for a very long time until they sort of get a little bit manky, and then I chuck them. But the ones that you can get at a hardware store, super good. They have been durable and long lasting for me for a long period of time. Eye masks, also pretty awesome. Who knew? I thought that was for like sort of Princess and the Pea sort of folks, where it was like, oh, I don't want to. But you know what? Making it really dark. We have now blackout shades in our bedroom. We have a couple different homes, and we have blackout shades have been radically awesome. Eye masks are the next level. Earplugs plus eye mask? Bye-bye. Number seven, this is less about the actual sleeping and more about the process of ending sleep. When possible, allow yourself to wake up naturally. Now, the reality is there are times that you need to set your alarm. The iPhone, for most of you out there that are iPhoners, there are some really nice alarms now that are very gradual, and they kind of wake up and they're not like beep, beep, beep. If you do need to set some of those, then I understand. If you have the ability to train yourself to wake up naturally, that is awesome. Whenever possible, I do this, and I pretty much can do it all the time. I've trained my body to wake up at a certain time, and it listens. I literally visualize the time, and I'm pretty much waking up around that time. Whenever possible, allow for natural wake up. Otherwise, try and make the alarm gentle, and also keep it consistent. We talked about a consistent bedtime. A consistent wake up time will also help. Your body will cue and key off that, and your body has a chronotype. I track all of this stuff, by the way. I track my sleep every night using the Oura ring, Oura ring. I've had one of these things since they were invented. Got an early one from the people who built the company and built the product, and other options out there. You know, your iPhone app can do it. Whoop Band. There's all sorts of others. I use the Oura ring and I have been tracking my sleep for years and years. This is part of how I got interested in this, was I realized I need to get better at sleeping because I'm a bad sleeper. And boy, have I pat myself on the back. Good job, Chase. Try and keep it consistent. That's how I know words like chronotype. Or maybe I'm saying that wrong. Maybe that's a watch. I don't know. And then the last thing I will say, maybe next to the last, morning routine. I feel like as a process is sort of like, it's technically not sleeping, but it is along the lines of sort of that waking up, like the alarm that I just mentioned. If you can avoid that, I do have a morning routine that involves, say, cold plunging and, you know, various other things. I try and keep that routine. I streamline that morning routine. I've watched some people on the internet, they got a morning routine that's like 3 hours long. I'm like, I don't know how you do it. Or people who have kids, like if you got kids, it's really hard. I mean, that said, I like to have a morning routine. I want to get outside and get some light into my eyes, which is very valuable, and move your body. So I have a golden retriever who's freaking awesome named Bodhi. We walk every morning. I try and get outside quickly, get light into my eyes, and get moving my body. That is not technically sleep, but consider that a bonus. Bonus number two on that point is stay out of your phone the first thing in the morning. That's no way to wrap up sleep with a freaking note from your boss, your boss's boss's boss, or some, I call it the bad news machine. Rarely do you pick up your phone and like, I won the lottery. It's usually something that's neutral or not awesome. And I like to be in control of what goes in my brain for the first couple hours of every day. So that is my personal journey for sleep over the last several years. Quick recap, simplify bedtime to a window, limit late meals and alcohol, pre-bed wind down, things like limiting screen, take a hot bath or a shower, hot tub, warm beverage. I cited a couple examples, some sleep aids if you need them. I take some on a regular basis, others on as needed. Limit phone in the evening, don't have it by your bed. Number five, if you can control the temperature, make it cooler than you are typically comfortable with and you will sleep better. Earplugs and eye mask are game changers. Whenever possible, allow for a natural wake up. Get that morning routine, light in the eyes, and movement if you can. Doesn't have to be, you have to go to the gym for a 60-minute CrossFit workout. Get outside, walk the dog, walk up to the coffee shop, walk around the block. 15 minutes is all it takes. Those are things that have truly transformed my sleep experience. And I went from a D-minus sleeper to pretty much, I think I give myself an A-minus, B-plus. Let's go B-plus. A-minus? Yeah. That's the kind of transformation I'm talking about. Anyway, I hope today's episode on sleep has been helpful. I highly recommend Matt Walker. He is a sleep genius. He's been on all sorts of podcasts. We'll get him on this show soon. Brilliant scientist of sleep. And in the meantime, I catch anything I can. If you've got some things that you want to share with me, I am all ears and willing to check an experiment with a handful of new and emerging, whether this is technologies or techniques or, you know, old tales, I'm down to try it. So I'm going to sign off and say thanks for listening, and I hope you sleep well tonight and forevermore. All right. Hey, before you go, thanks so much for listening. And if you got value from this show, chances are your community will too, right? In the particular lies the universal. Please share this link to the show with a friend or mention the show on social. That is a huge benefit for us and hopefully in exchange for providing value to you. I want you to know that I really appreciate your time, the attention, anything that you give to the show, and the questions that you ask our guests either on social media or through my text community. All that is pure gold. This community, like any community, is a testament to that old phrase, a rising tide floats all boats. And by elevating one another, by sharing and resharing this show, the tidbits that you learn and the experiences you take away, all of that has a collective, massive, positive impact on the world. So just a quick thank you. I appreciate all the effort you put into sharing for this show. All right, that's a wrap. Let's put today's episode into practice and get back to growing together.